And welcome in to the Thursday edition. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com will be with us in the second half of the show. He will be in studio back from Flowery Branch, Georgia, on 2 days of Titans practice against the Falcons. We'll get all of PK's takeaways from that a little bit later in the program. Joe Rex Road, good morning. Welcome back to the program. How are we doing? What's going on?
So awesome. So awesome. How are you?
Yeah, doing great. Yeah, not as good as you, but I'm doing great out here.
Everything is awesome. The Lego song.
Yeah. Oh, thanks for getting that in my head. Appreciate that. That'll be a nice worm the rest of the day that won't go anywhere.
That's a jam.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one word for it. Ian Safar, how we doing? What's going on?
Doing good, thanks. A little foggy this morning.
It was.
Pretty foggy in my neck of the woods, so careful out there. Low beams, people. Low beams.
Low beams.
At least one person needs that reminder.
Yeah.
But yeah, doing great.
Don't smoke somebody off the road with your high beams on, just shining right into their face. So we'll see if people can handle that this morning. Enjoyed Joe last night watching 2 consecutive hours of Taylor Swift on the New Heights podcast with Travis Kelce and Jason Kelce. My wife was locked in, baby, just locked in the whole time. So I sat there and watched it with her. And, you know, as we know, Taylor Swift, at least, you know, top five Hendersville Commando of all time. So it was good to see her doing some big things out there.
So how was it? Was it good?
Yeah. I mean, as somebody who is not really a Swiftie, there's a lot in there that, frankly, I don't really care that much about. But I thought it was good. Like, yeah, it was good. And, I mean, I think it did make me appreciate, like, she's kind of a genius. I think we knew that anyway. But she's, like, just in terms of the way she sets up her shows and stuff, like she went into pretty good detail about all that, and it's like, wow, you're like really smart thinking about things that people have no business thinking about. So that was interesting to me to find out. But you know, there's a little bit too much of like Travis Kelce all lovey-dovey in there, and I was like, all right, when does this thing end? But it was fine. Yeah, it was 2 hours, not that bad.
2 hours, man. So yeah, I saw it was like what, like more than a million people.
Oh yeah, I mean, I think that one point they crashed live. YouTube. Yeah. Like, yeah. At one point, though, with, like, 15 minutes left in the podcast, like, the stream just crashed. So I had to, like, repair that and listen to the rest of it on Spotify, because there's no way we could just, like, wait for the rest of the 15 minutes for, like, tomorrow or something. You know, I had to go find it somewhere else.
Damn right. So. Yeah, I wonder if my resident Swifty here was plugged in on that. Or what time did that start?
I think 6 o'clock our time. We had to delay it a little bit because you know, the toddler was not gonna, there was no sitting there watching it in peace with the 2-year-old running around. So when she went to bed, we locked all the way in.
Yeah, okay, well, I'm sure at some point I'll catch up on it. So they actually, that's what I was wondering. I mean, it's obviously the brothers podcast, mostly about football.
Yeah.
Obviously you have a guest on, you're talking about their stuff, but I wondered like how much it was going to be about, you know, Taylor's music stuff as opposed to, like, you know, just sort of
95% Taylor music stuff, I would say.
Interesting.
If I had to assign a percentage to it. Now, she did talk about the cover 2, cover 4, cover 0 defense, which was beautiful. It was awesome.
I saw that quote. Yep. Yes. Saw
talked
that
about
quote.
That. Yep. You know, she talked about what she once thought football was of just lining up one-on-one, which I assume came from just watching me do drills in middle school. So good to know that she's she's evolved as a football fan since then.
You're her like model of an elite athlete.
Yeah, pretty much.
You used to be. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
So I'm glad that, you know, Kelce is kind of taking her place on that one. So it's good stuff. Good stuff there. Like I said, Paul Kuharsky will be with us later in the show. We'll get into the details of the Titans and the Falcons joint practice with him. Joe, apparently a better day for the Titans yesterday. It did not go well for them in day one. Between the Titans and the Falcons joint practice, there was some fighting going on yesterday. I think Kuharsky described it as like 3 mini fights that I think the way he phrased it in a way that only Kuharsky can is, I guess, showed some sign of life, also got in the way of getting some stuff done out there. So it's like, all right, apparently some altercations yesterday out there between the Titans and the Atlanta Falcons. But Apparently some better play for the Titans offense. And Calvin Ridley came off the field. Andrew tweeted this out yesterday that he came off the field saying, "We won today. Y'all write that." So Calvin Ridley, thinking the Titans, came off the field with a victory against the Atlanta Falcons in the practice yesterday. So if you were out there, you're looking for a response after what was pretty universally viewed as a not very good practice from the Titans a couple days ago and day one of the joint practices. Apparently you saw a little bit of that yesterday, Joe. So I guess that's good to see.
I guess so. I don't know that there's a consensus agreement with Ridley on the Titans winning, but they maybe lost less than they did on the first day. Is that maybe fair to say?
Improvement.
Didn't lose as bad. Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't think we necessarily have to have a winner and loser of every joint practice in this league either. But yeah, I suppose it's not at all surprising that you'd have some kind of response. It's been a little disappointing that you'd have such a apparently sluggish first day there. I just don't buy the whole. I mean, another thing, I think it was Ridley who was like talking about sleeping in, you know, different beds. It's like, and during camp, isn't that what you do also? Or a lot of guys for the most part, for most of camp? I think so. So
it's also what you do in road games in the NFL.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't think they're, you know, staying at like the no-tell motel, right? Like,
I think so.
It's probably just fine. So it's just, I mean, it seems like there's just a lot of these things that are, you know, a lot of the conversation, a lot of what people are seeing. It's like low energy, motivation, adversity, being in different situations. And a lot of it, I think, comes down to they're going up against teams that have better players than them. You know, I think there's just a lot of the reality of it is just they're not very good. And so we're coming up with all these different reasons and things for to explain that they're just not that good.
Well, that's what I said yesterday to begin the show. Like, we can talk about slow starts and we can talk about lack of energy and all these things. But the deeper that goes on into camp, the more I have a harder time believing that the Titans just have apparently the most unfocused group in the history of the National Football League out there. I think it has more to do, Joe, with they're just not very good. Like when and Callahan kind of talked about that yesterday. I mean, he didn't come out and say his team wasn't very good, but he was basically like, you know, if you make the plays early in the practice, well, there's your energy level right there, right? Like you make those plays and nobody's talking about a lack of energy level or a slow start. When you're not making the plays and the other team is, you may approach it the exact right way you need to approach it. But if you're not as good as the other team, then it doesn't look like that all the time. And I think that's probably the bigger case of what we're dealing with here.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's just so – and I think that is probably like his kind of gentle way of, you know, saying like you got to make the plays. What he doesn't say next is – wish we had more guys who could make plays. You know, he's not going
to
say that.
Nice to have some of those guys.
Yeah. So, I mean, look, and I'm not dismissing. I know that, like, Big Joe's talked a lot about the motive, you know, and guys running into the building. I mean, I'm sure there's something to that, too. It seems like maybe they need some more guys to bring that to like, just, you know, say, look, like, get off your ass, let's go. I mean, I think there's probably some truth to that. I guess, you know, then you get into, here we are in August talking about joint practices. Oh, this practice, that practice. Does any of that, if they have that, really change what they're going to be this year?
Yeah, it's a good question. And, you know, look, you know, I'm glad that Calvin Ridley thought enough of their practice yesterday where he felt like they won it. That's fine. We'll see. You know, Brian Callahan did say yesterday that the starters are going to play again. So, I would expect basically the same thing we saw against Tampa Bay in terms of the plan going in of a couple series for Cam Ward and the starters offensively. You know, you'll see some guys on defense out there. He said you're probably not going to see Jeffrey Simmons and you're probably not going to see Kevin Zeitler. But other than that, like, the guys should be ready to go and ready to play. So, I like that. Like, you know, I like going through the two joint practices, getting the day off today, and then having your starters play in the game tomorrow. Like, I think this is a roster and a team that needs as much work as they can possibly get. So I like that. I like that that's the way that they're handling this here. But I think the more camp goes on, the more it's clear that this team just needs a lot of work. And, you know, I'm glad they showed a little bit more energy to start yesterday. Like, I saw some interesting comments from Arden Key about, you know, starting off a little scuffle and Just getting the blood flowing a little bit yesterday, but you know, at the end of the day, it's going to be like how I don't know that in October if they're getting like blown off the field in the first half. I don't know if we're going to be talking about energy level. We're probably going to be talking about, man, this doesn't look like a very well-coached team, and man, the talent level in this team just isn't very good.
Yeah, of course, then you get into those two things you said. It's like, which is it? Or which is more or let, right? Like, right. We're going to have that a lot. And by the way, yeah, I did see that Arden Key. I thought that it was generally a bad thing to have a burning sensation when you urinate.
Well, I've heard that's not man. What you want.
Unless maybe you're like Superman, you're like trying to, I don't know.
I mean, Matt LaFleur uses that phrase too.
That's right.
So maybe, you know, maybe this is just a football thing, man. I don't know.
That's a LaFleur.
That's a LaFleurism.
LaFleurism. Yeah. Okay. Interesting. I did not realize that. Yeah, that's a new one for me, I think.
Yeah.
For people who don't know what we're talking about, I don't even know if we can exactly say it. So. Find it on the internet.
Yeah, just look up Arden Key and what he said yesterday. 615-737-1025, our phone number. 615-737-1025. Joe, we played Brian Callahan's press conference at the end of the show yesterday, and as we were wrapping up, I thought about something he said, and like the more I thought about it yesterday, the more it kind of irritated me. Man, I want to get your thoughts on it coming up next. We'll do that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.
A lot of the guys said they wanted to get a better start of practice today. How yeah. you feel that went?
I think we did good. I think we started off in the one-on-ones. We got a little scuffle going on, so the got hot. And then we got the team, had a little scuffle going on. But after the scuffle, we still played football, and we still was able to keep that high intensity.
That's Arden Key yesterday, the chief subscriber of PaulKuharsky.com. Get it done out there on the field. Good to hear that stuff from Arden Key yesterday, Joe. He was fired up.
I bet you Paul Kuharsky's bleep gets hot, too.
We'll have to ask him later when he shows up here to the program. Checking your thoughts. 615-737-1025. So Brian Callahan held his press conference yesterday before day number two of the joint practices against Tampa Bay. It was probably not a pleasant experience for Brian Callahan because it was mostly about, hey, why'd you guys suck so much yesterday in day one of the joint practice? So that was an interesting he did not sound like he was having a whole lot of fun at the press conference yesterday. I'll put it that way. But he did say something about a certain player on Atlanta that had his way with the Titans in day number one of the practice, that when he said it, I thought about it, and I was like, okay, well, welcome to daily life in the National Football League. And the more I thought about it yesterday, Joe, the more upset it made me. Here's what Brian Callahan had to say yesterday on Drake London of the Atlanta Falcons.
How is London able to get so open so often in the middle of the
We got to tighten some of the interior coverage lanes up. He did a good job. They had some space. I mean, we're playing zone coverage in some of those spots, and he's finding the space in there. And we got to do a better job covering from the interior. And Drake's a really good player. I think he caught pretty much every pass they threw yesterday. We were pretty good in most other places, but he had a good day yesterday.
We were pretty good in most other places. Drake caught every single pass they threw his way, and I was like, well. Yeah, man, that's a problem come game day. Like, nobody's going to care here in a couple weeks, Joe, if Tutu Atwell only has two catches for 17 yards, and then you look around and Davante Adams has caught 13 passes for 185 yards and two touchdowns. So I heard that yesterday, and I was like, yeah, okay. I understand that Drake London's a good player. By the way, you're going to be seeing a lot of good players this year, good wide receivers. It would be great to just not let one totally dominate you, which apparently Drake London did in day one of that practice, to the point where TD was like, yeah, this is really not a very good day for the Titans secondary out there.
Yeah, it's like you said, it's like so this is sometimes maybe it's better. See, they've been doing this thing where you got the presser before the practice, which I find very annoying. I think it's very annoying for us being media, but – I bet you Callahan would have preferred to just go ahead and knock out talking about all that stuff right after it, as opposed to waiting until the next day. And then, you know, I mean, I guess either way, it's, you know, you're going to get the questions about it, but yeah, I mean, I, agree. It's just like, okay, yeah. Well, I mean, it's kind of like, well, I mean, we let the guy run for 150 yards, but I mean, one of them was a 95 yarder. So yeah. If you take that one away, I mean, you know, we only gave up like 55 yards in the game.
That drives me nuts.
It's if only the 95 yarder didn't count, that'd be a good point.
Yeah. Like I heard that yesterday. I was like, well, you know, we did a fairly decent job from everybody else. Just Drake London caught every single pass thrown his way. It was like, well, let me guess what, Brian, if that happens in the game, and you're letting Drake London catch every pass thrown his way, that's probably not going to end well for you. Like, you got to find a way to cover those guys. And look, I get it. You don't have Legarius Sneed out there, and who knows when you'll have Legarius Sneed out there. But, like, you got to find a way. If you're going to be as bad on paper as it looks like you're going to be at edge rusher, you at least got to be able to cover a little bit. And the fact that apparently you just let Drake London march all over you in day one is not necessarily a comforting feeling. We talked about what Kyle Trask did, some of that, against the starters for the Titans defense, and that was not Baker Mayfield and it was not Mike Evans. So it's like, you know, the secondary, I understand Snead's a big part of it if he can be out there and be healthy, but beyond Brownlee and McCreary, they, you know, especially at corner, they might be in some trouble at that spot.
Yeah. Now, it sounded like, I mean, just his talking interior, it sounded like maybe there were some linebackers out of position and some of that stuff, and their zones maybe. I mean, I don't know. That, I mean, if he says interior, I guess you could be talking safeties too. But, yeah, this is also like, okay, so something like that, obviously, like in a game, I mean, you're probably like devoting – you're probably game planning, shifting coverage to a guy like that, right?
I would hope so.
Whereas in a practice, you may just be like, we're working on – this defense, you know, we're working on this, we're doing this, you know, whatever. I mean, you may be just like straight up not doing anything special for a particular player, so a guy like that will excel. Like, I can buy that more than I think the thing I don't want to hear anymore the rest of camp is like whenever Cam Ward throws a pick, like, well, you know, you gotta, you know, just you're working on stuff.
Yeah.
Like to me, it's like, yeah, but you need to work on not throwing picks at this point, and you need to like work on, let's have a clean, because like that's what you need to put into practice in games. I mean, again, to me, it's like the veteran QB who is established in this league, who is going to start and has been good, like Tannehill in the 21 camp. I totally bought it. He threw the ball up into double coverage. Hey, let's see if AJ can come up with that one. Or he tried to rip one. You know, it's like, yeah, like what he said matched up with what you saw. That's just a veteran. Like, I don't give a crap if I throw a pick in practice, but a guy like this, who's trying to like learn how to play and trying to like go through, like to try to translate it to the, you know, to the practice or translate practice to the game. Yeah. Stop. Don't take unnecessary chances. Like learn to not do that. Cause that was really one of the fair criticisms of him as a college player.
Yeah, I agree. Like, you know, we said yesterday, we had a long conversation about Cam Ward yesterday, and me and Connor were talking about, you know, why is he throwing so many picks? And people were saying, well, is he trying different stuff? Like how much of it is maybe not being quite on the same page with the receivers yet? And I'm sure, like, that, you know, if you went down, and to give you the coach speak answer here, each interception has a story in life of its own, Joe. How many times we heard
that?
There
you go.
That's great.
A never ending story.
And I'm sure that that's true. Like, I'm sure if you broke down each interception that he's thrown in camp to this point, you can probably find one or two that may be on like Chigakonkwo, or, you know, maybe one or two, Joe, has been on because the defense deep down knows what the offense is working on and knows where the routes are going. Like, I don't know. Like, there's any number of different things you can point to try to deflect blame. And maybe some of them early in camp was he was trying to see what he could get away with. But I do think there reaches a point where you got to start prioritizing taking care of the football. Like, that's got to be your priority if you're Cam Ward. And I think we're there. Like, we're to the point in camp where he has got to figure out how to take care of the football on a more consistent basis. And I said it yesterday, I'll stay by it today. Like, I would rather him throw these interceptions in camp and learn from them and maybe be better prepared to avoid them by the time the regular season rolls around. And if that's how it ends up playing out, then great. Then you can look at the interceptions that he's thrown in camp as a learning experience. But like, we need to start hearing. I mean, they're running out of practice days, first of all, before the regular season runs around. But we need to start hearing about Cam Ward, you know, getting through some practices, multiple practices in a row, without really turning the football over. Like, there's got to be a priority from his standpoint on taking care of the football at this point in camp.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's, you know, and also it's like, what's the type of pick? Okay. It's just like, if you're playing football and you know they can tackle you or you know they can't, like, there's just something different in your brain.
Yeah.
Also, like, there's still like a practice thing where it's like the consequence is not massive. So, okay, every once in a while, if you want to try to rip one into a tight window, fine. But if you're throwing picks where it's just like a linebacker fooled you, you didn't see the coverage, that's not working. That's just a BS excuse. And yeah. I'm not even saying – I don't even think Cam – I don't know that I've heard him make that excuse. I just hear other people, like some media and fans making that excuse. It's like, yeah, if you got fooled by a linebacker who was in a place you didn't think – that's not – yeah, I'm just working on something. That's you screwing up. That's you needing to learn from that and not do that anymore.
Let's head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Jared in Spring Hill to the program. Jared, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Good morning. Another day in the life of our Titans of Tennessee. And, you know, I just really kind of miss the coach talk. And, you know, everything is just so positive with him. I know that's his MO is to be positive. But, man, I would just love for him to be we have so much more work to do. We were the last team in the league. Just to be, sometimes I just don't really buy him that he's like very self-aware to what's going on, honestly. But since we only scored 7 points last week, if we go out and we have a very similar performance where, you know, it's lopsided one way and we're on the other side of it, are y'all going to, like, would that, again, I felt like I overreacted last week. Would you all also, like, feel like I would be overreacting this week if they only trotted out and scored 7 points and got blanked in 3 quarters? Again, it's just something I'm fixated on this Friday. Anyway, all right, no.
Thank you for calling, Jared. I would answer it this way, Joe. What do the starters do? Like, what does Cam Ward and the starting offense do? Like, quite honestly, I don't care, nor do I put much stock into what, you know, Trevor Siemian's doing out there in the third quarter of this game coming up. I just don't. I mean, we know. We don't need the preseason game to tell us. We know that the Titans don't have a lot of depth, right? Like, this is not some new information. So if the Titans' third stringers are not doing a good job of moving the football, that adds up. They don't have very good depth. I mean, I don't know if they've got good depth with their second stringers, much less their third stringers. So that part, I don't really care about. What do the starters do?
Right. And the ultimate answer to this, it's funny because Big Joe actually asked me about this the other day as they were talking about it. The ultimate answer to any question like that is, I mean, apparently the 2008 Detroit Lions had some amazing threes and guys just trying to make the roster. They went 4-0 in the preseason. They went 0-16 in the season.
Yep.
It just – I mean, take a snapshot of the first quarter or so, and that's a much better way to look at it.
I mean, didn't the Titans go 3-0 in the preseason last year?
They did.
Yeah, so that kind of shows you how much that means. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Again, Paul Kuharsky will be with us later in the program. We'll get his thoughts on everything he saw from Titans and Falcons in the 2 days of joint practice down in Georgia. Something else went down yesterday for Tennessee fans that has Vols fans feeling very strongly on one side or the other. We'll get into that coming up next as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. This September, Tim McGraw will be performing at Trinetics' Rock the Cradle in Nashville, a meaningful event supporting newborns and moms at Ascension St. Thomas Midtown. Get your tickets at rockthecradlenashville.org. We'll have the best and worst things in sports coming up at 6:45. We'll take your best things, your worst things on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Joe, a lot of screaming yesterday on Vol Twitter, which I think is just the normal on Vol Twitter nowadays. The Vols announced yesterday, and it was put out there yesterday, that they are making the switch, and this has been rumored to be happening for a long time now, but they are making the switch from Nike to Adidas, and that will take place, I believe, on July 1st of 2026. So it's not going to affect this year's football jersey or anything like that, but next year, July 1st, the 10-year deal with Adidas begins. And Danny White put out this big statement yesterday talking about the 10-year deal with Adidas and how it's one of the most lucrative and groundbreaking deals in the history of college athletics, and Adidas is giving Tennessee a lot of money, and it's going to be an apparel deal, but it's also, Joe, got some NIL stuff attached to it, and Tennessee and their athletes are going to have a chance to work with Adidas and come up with some concepts and all these different things. So it's kind of this overarching deal from Adidas that apparently Nike was just not willing to approach with Tennessee and with Tennessee Athletics. So some people are really mad about this, Joe, for some reason. Like, some people think that Adidas, I guess, is just absolute trash, and that Nike, moving away from Nike, is a huge mistake. I tweeted this yesterday. I honestly could not care less if they're Nike or Adidas. If they got a boatload of money, and I think the number's, what, $200 million, something like that, they got a boatload of money from Adidas, knock yourself out, man. I don't really care who your apparel sponsor is. But apparently, you know, look, one thing we know about Danny White, right, and, you know, the coaching hires, you know, as he continues to go through his athletic career, we'll see how those all play out. But from a fundraising standpoint and from a making money standpoint, I mean, the guy clearly knows what he's doing. I don't agree with everything he does. I understand why some things that either he does or is involved with, particularly related to ticket prices, rubs Vols fans the wrong way. So I get that. Like, I understand that part of it. But, like, I have no problem with the Adidas deal when you're talking about that big of a difference in the money. And I really don't understand for life me why people were so mad about it yesterday.
Yeah, we could probably do a whole show with people screaming about this one if you get Tennessee fans riled up. And I am with you. I mean, look, the Nike, I think the bottom line is, for Nike, they have programs that they deem more important. And this looks like Adidas is looking at Tennessee like this is, you know, you're the flagship program.
Yeah, like Adam Sparks described it basically as, like, you know, Nike's got Oregon, Under Armour's got Notre Dame, and now Adidas has Tennessee. Like, that's the way that Adam Sparks kind of described it.
Yeah, I saw that. And yeah, I mean, of course, I mean, I think with Nike, there's some other programs that they might consider more important than even, of course, Oregon is.
Yeah.
Basically, Oregon has Nike, right? Not like the other way around.
Yeah.
So yeah, look, it's an interesting arrangement. It also, like you said, there's this NIL component, and everybody's trying to find the loophole. So this is where we're getting into apparel, and we're getting into, you know, like, even like local broadcasting programs, like broadcasting agreements, getting into how much can we use some of this money to give players beyond the revenue share cap, right? So here we go again. It's all of which is just so stupid, and is like, yeah, just, you know, let's get to acting like adults about this. But in the meantime, there's always going to be loopholes found, and so this is another one of those. And so there's money that's going to help with you know, retaining and recruiting athletes, and it's just more money, period. I'm out of the loop a little bit on, you know, it seemed like, I guess maybe it was 10, 15 years ago, like Adidas was really making a push. They've had ups and downs. I remember when Reebok used to sponsor a lot of prominent college programs, and that faded away. Under Armour looked like it was going to be, oh boy, and then it kind of plateaued, right? Nike has been consistently, strong, but I mean, if you're a fan, like, does it really bother you if you go, like, buy a jersey? You know, buy a Boo Carter. How about a Boo Carter jersey?
Yeah.
Get them while you can. Does it, and again, like you said, it's not until next year, but, like, does it bother you that it has the Adidas thing instead of the Nike swoosh on it? Is that the thing?
I guess. For some people, yes, that's the answer. They don't like Adidas, and they think that. Look, again, I have worn a lot of Nike things. That's probably what I've worn the most. I like it. It's fine. But I'm also the same person that, like, it's clothes, man. Just find me some clothes that fit and are somewhat comfortable, and I don't really care where they come from. Like, I mean, I'd love it if Carhartt came out with some nice uniform sponsors. That give me a little Vols uniform brought to you by Carhartt. See how it goes out there. I don't think it's going to happen. But my point is, like, I can't bring myself really to care about the apparel sponsor the way that people were just screaming about it yesterday. And by the way, like, I think this will be true with Adidas, and it has been true with Nike. Like, I like some of the Nike uniforms that are out there, and that's Tennessee and otherwise, like other programs. Some of them I think are awful. Like, I think some of the designs that Nike's had has been really bad. I'm sure Adidas will be the same way. Like, I'm sure there will be some jerseys that Tennessee has with Adidas where, like, yeah, that looks pretty cool. Like, I mean, honestly, it's kind of hard to screw up the orange and white look, right? Like, I mean, I guess you can do it, but I think it's kind of hard to screw that up. And there will probably be some jerseys that they come out with that are just absolutely atrocious. I don't think that's going to change whether it's Nike or Adidas.
I am now having flashbacks to Adidas and, like, I think around 2014 in the NCAA tournament, all their Adidas teams came out with these stupid Adidas uniforms for the NCAA tournament. Like, Wisconsin looked like clowns. Oh God, that was bad. Mm. So they've got a history, but again, yeah, I mean, I've talked about the Michigan State game where this is a Nike Pro Combat. Oh, Michigan State looked like GI Joes and Michigan looked like bumblebees. I mean, you can get stupid with that. In any event, but I guess what when they were Adidas, they had the black outline and the numbers.
Yeah,
is that right.
Which, by the way, I mean, I kind of
selfishly.
Like.
I know. Well, from the press box, I can see the freaking number. Please do that. But yeah, I don't. I just think this is. I get like the Nike. It's like and you know, some of these teams do the even like the Jordan brand, right?
Yeah.
So that's like still so cool. But I don't see how. I mean, if we really think that, I've heard some people talk about this like with recruiting. And
yeah.
It's like. So you really think that
I think we're
like,
getting down
all
the list
of a sudden,
there, man.
All of a sudden Tennessee looks different to recruits because they're Adidas.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, if they were like my 1976 Pro Keds, maybe you worry a little bit. Okay. You know, the ruse, the Walter Payton ruse with a little zipper. Okay. Then maybe we're getting a little bit off the beaten path. I think Adidas is going to be just fine.
Well, here's how I view it. It's more money, right? So more money, which means more NIL opportunities, which means hopefully like better recruiting, right? Like, isn't that the point? Like, you're trying to get yourself as much money as possible to compete with, you know, the Alabamas and the Texas and Ohio States of the world, right? And I don't know if they're ever going to have more money than like Texas and Ohio State, but get yourself closer in that conversation, right? Like, that to me is what I care about probably more than who's the apparel sponsor.
Yeah, and if you are like you're the top client of Adidas, they care about you the most, then I guess, you know, that probably brings benefits beyond the money too, right? No. I don't know. Maybe if they have some of these newfangled idiotic uniforms, they try it on you first and it's actually cool. Who knows? Maybe this does this mean we get rid of the stupid candy corn one and the gray smoky gray crap.
I don't think so.
I'm for both. No,
I think you might see more. You might see more of them.
Well, maybe Adidas can reimagine the smoky gray and do, you know, something involving orange. Just a thought.
615-737-1025, our phone number. The best and worst things in sports coming up next. We'll take your best things, your worst things on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game.
The best and worst of the sports week, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
On ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It's time!
This is the worst.
You look like you're feeling sorry for yourself.
I believe in miracles, yes!
Unbelievable. He's one of one. He is him.
This is a Coke bottle, it's not a crystal ball.
When I woke up this morning, I was feeling pretty dangerous.
Okay, let's go.
It is that time of the week, time for the best and worst things in sports. We'll take your best things, your worst things on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Joe Rexroad, kick us off with your best and worst things in the world of sports.
Well, my best is Shedeur Sanders. And again, I'm not overreacting to his performance. claiming that he's about to be an all pro or all the haters can shut up now or any of that stuff. But he's good. And I was really happy to just see him play well. You know, look, he obviously screwed things up. There's no question. I think he and his dad screwed things up during the process. And I think that some NFL teams right now might be looking at themselves like, yeah, maybe we overreacted a little bit to that, you know, because the guy can play. And it was just really thrilling to watch him play and to kind of see what I thought I saw during his college career translate. He sees things and he can put the ball into little spots. One of those TD passes, that was a big time NFL throw. I don't care who you're going against. It's a window that's a tiny crack of daylight, and he put it in the perfect spot. So to me, all the hype, all the buildup, people on both sides of the Shador conversation were ready to just go nuts. No one should be going nuts about this, but I just think it's my best in sports because I'm just happy for him. Happy to see him do well. My worst in sports, here we are on August 14th, and it's been weeks, and I'm really sad right now that like I have not been able to watch Caitlin Clark play basketball for a long time, and I have no idea if we're gonna watch her anymore. Like total silence and non-committal, you know, like there's just no info on when she might come back. This really sucks. It was a ton of fun last year. You know, we've got some, I mean I'm more into the WNBA now and still am, but Caitlin Clark is obviously a huge a huge driver of interest, and I just miss watching her play. So I hope she can come back before the season ends.
Ian Safar, your best and worst things in the world of sports.
Okay, best, give a little shout out to the New York baseball scene and my dad and Willie and TD and all the Mets fans. Pete Alonso, Mets franchise home run record.
Yes.
Hard to believe, given, you know, how long the Mets have been around and some of the players that they've had over the years, past Daryl Strawberry.
Yes.
Daryl Strawberry. So that was pretty cool. Pete Alonso. And I was reading this story this week, Joe, on your website, The Athletic. This Aaron Donald stalker situation.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. Terrible.
I don't know how much you saw or how much you read about it, but sounds awful. Being exploited and all types of stuff. So that was not, you know, it was eye-opening, and maybe it's something that we probably don't realize happens more with professional athletes because it's so behind the scenes. But, that was a little bit disturbing story there. So I'll put that as my worst.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, absolutely. My best thing in sports, the Milwaukee Brewers. As we know, we love all things Milwaukee here on this show, Joe Rexrod.
That's right. That's
Milwaukee
right.
Brewers, 12 wins in a row. Double digits, 12 wins in a row. In Major League Baseball, they are surging right now and playing some high-level baseball. Obviously, as a Packers fan, I have a lot of friends who are also Brewers fans, and they are very excited about the Milwaukee Brewers. So I am not necessarily excited about the Milwaukee Brewers because I don't watch the Milwaukee Brewers play baseball at all. But they have won 12 games in a row. They are the affiliate, Joe, of the Nashville Sounds. And by God, they're playing some good baseball right now. So my best thing in sports, because frankly, not a whole lot of other things going on right now. The Milwaukee Brewers, 12 wins in a row. Joe, sticking in the state of Wisconsin, which apparently that's what I do. My worst thing in sports, Jordan Love, surgery on his non-throwing hand before the season. He gets a thumb injury in the preseason game last week, of which he played two drives and ran around back there and for some reason took a sack and hurt his thumb on the play. And now he has a procedure that he got done the other day. Apparently, I don't know that I've ever heard of this before. You know, he had a thumb surgery on a ligament, and he'll be back next week. Like, he's practicing next week. So, he's going to be ready to go by week one. We still get Jordan Love versus Jared Goff and Packers-Lions in week one, but already a surgery we're talking about with Jordan Love, who could not stay healthy last year. So, I'm starting to like, hey, you need to get yourself healthy out there, man. We're reaching, hey, are you injury-prone status with him?
I thought you were about to deliver like really bad news. Yeah, you're fine, man. He's fine.
Everything's surgery.
Just when you take care of it. Yeah. That word brings I dread to mind, but like, you know, tonsil removal is a surgery too.
That's true. That is true.
I got one text that says the best thing, Cam Ward saying they could be a top 10 offense this year, which makes me excited as a fan. The worst thing, Cam Ward saying they could be a top 10 offense this year, which means if it doesn't happen, he just opened himself up to more blame. This is from a texter on the text line. I did see that. Cam Ward continuing to not lack in confidence.
He said Treylon Burks is a top 5 receiver in the league.
That's true.
All due respect to Cam Ward. Like, I mean, first of all, like, and this is any player, when you say something like that, yeah, we can be a top, whatever. Like, I immediately want someone to be like, okay, name me the other 9. You know, who else you have in there? You don't think you're definitely not like 11 or 12. You're top 10.
Yeah.
Give me your list. I mean, you know, it's just, you definitely should not be excited about that. I think that's just talk. I don't know that I'd even really, you know, is that going to be held against them when they're inevitably 27th?
I mean, I guess if you say like crazy stuff every time you walk up to the microphones, like, yeah, I think we might be the best team in league history. Then, you know, eventually you add them all up and some become way less crazy than others at some point.
Like,
I don't know if they'll ever beat Treylon Burks being top 5 wide receiver.
Exactly. Like, I don't think that, other than us joking about it, I don't think it still follows A.J. Brown around that he said that Racy McMath could be Julio Jones.
Yeah, that was good.
And I think Kevin Byard is fine, even though he said that Anthony Firkser, what did he say about
top
him
top flight tight end.
I always think there was a comparison. There was no player comparison.
No, he just said top flight tight end.
One of the top 10. Yeah.
Like, how big is that flight? Like, are we talking in comparison to the rest of the human race, or are we talking NFL? This is two very different things.
Think about that. A really good Titans team relied on Anthony Firkser to be tight end.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Pretty amazing.
And frankly, like, this Titans team maybe could use Anthony Firkser.
They could use him. Yeah, yeah, sure.
I got one texter that says, worst thing in sports, Vols fans arguing with people on social media and then deeming themselves undefeated.
Oh,
it's embarrassing.
God.
I don't even know what that means.
That's Vols Twitter undefeated.
No, okay.
It's like, I got you. I mean, are you sure?
I don't know that they're undefeated. There's been some.
No.
I mean, if you scream that often, you have to lose some.
Yeah, they're often self-defeated. Kristen, I mean, thanks for being Debbie Downer here, Kristen. You can bleed to death from a tonsillectomy, FYI.
Good Lord.
Well, jeez. That really took the show to a dark place, Kristen.
Derek from Knowledgeville says they'll be a top 5 offense on the Titans. top 5 on the Titans. I like that stuff. That's good. Chip says you can't start the season out with high expectations like a top 10 offense or can't run on us. Yeah, we'll see.
If they have a top 10 offense and people can't run on them, what's their record?
Yeah, pretty good, man. I mean, I mean, as long as you're okay with, you know, Drake London catching every pass out there, you got to find a way to overcome that.
Drake London, 23 catches for 365 yards, but the Falcons had 3 yards rushing.
Yeah, don't worry. They couldn't run the ball, and nobody else made a catch the whole day. So it's all good.
He is pretty good, though.
Yeah, he's pretty good. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. Paul Kuharski will be with us in the second half of the program. We will get into all things Titans with him. He was there for both days of Titans and Falcons joint practice. That's coming up a little bit later in the program. We are about halfway through training camp here. Training camp's coming to a close. We got the real practices beginning in game week coming up here in a couple weeks in the NFL. So let's take a look around the NFL. We got some takes for you coming up next. We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.